Chapter 75. Apparel tripwire perched across the top step, waiting for Tia. It was an impressive distance from the mirror room, farther than she'd thought possible. Either Murder Sharp had just arrived, or he was a better apparel drafter than she had known. She rubbed her face with her hands as if she could scrub away fear as easily as she could rub fog off a window. It was about as effective. She checked quickly that no one could possibly see her in the stairwell, but of course the path to the mirror room was abandoned on the night of a new moon. Seeing it was safe, she made the sign of the seven, splaying her fingers to touch forehead, eyes, and mouth, then tapping them to heart and hands. The deeper she'd gotten into the secrets of the Order through the winter and into this spring, the more she needed to make an outward show of her own beliefs. The deeper she fell into the pits of heresy, the more orthodox she was becoming. But fear fogs the windows again at any hesitation, so there was time for only one sign and one breath prayer. Orholm, let your light guard me in this darkness. It didn't seem to do anything, but she kicked through the tripwire anyway. She walked down the hallway quietly, as if she didn't know her entrance had been announced. There was another tripwire outside the door. She paused, then stepped over it, opening the door slowly. The door squeaked. Of course it did. She let out a cloud of apparel from her fingertips. It billowed freely through the room full of silent mirrors mounted on their great spinning frames. The apparel cloud spread from her outstretched hands like the slow blast of a blunderbuss. Lighter apparel from her right hand floating up toward the ceiling, while heavier, nearly solid apparel spilled across the floor and drizzled down the great circular holes in the floor. The slowly erupting cloud crashed against an invisible form in front of her, and curled around it like a thunderhead parting around a mountain. The shadow stood silent, his head bowed to hide his eyes. Then a hand extended from his shimmer cloak, and as easily as if he were tearing the covers off a bed, he ripped away the entire cloud of apparel and was invisible once more. She was left aghast at how easily he'd done it. His will had suffused the entire cloud, had touched her own. Having will touch will unexpectedly was like having a stranger walk up to you and caress your face with both hands. Not violent, but still violating. He was invisible again. Heart straining, chest tight, she strained to hear the whisper of cloth on cloth that would be her sole warning of his attack. But then the figure shimmered into visibility, and Murder Sharp flung back his hood.
"You made one mistake," he said.
"Mistake?"
"When I was a younger man," Sharp said, "I fancied myself to be formidable. I flattered myself that I was scary."
Sharp had changed again in all the months he'd been gone. His hair had grown out and, while still short, had been trimmed neatly in a swept style preferred by some young nobles, and it was dyed to auburn from its previous fiery red. His naturally golden eyes had been coloured somehow to brown. Lenses that sat on the eye itself? Was such a thing possible? The scleras of his eyes were red from the irritation of wearing them, but no more than a haze smoker's. Worse, he wore the white uniform and gold insignia of a light guard captain.
"I had to be reined in," he said, "violently. I was bitter about it for a time, but now I see that every gem needs to have its rough edges chipped away before the stone can be polished to gleam."
He reached up to his mouth, fingering his immaculate teeth, and then he pulled out the dentures with a sucking sound and a dribble of spit. He examined the human teeth on his dentures with a craftsman's eye, scrubbing at some imperceptible imperfection on the dog tooth, then tucked the dentures away in a special box. From a pocket he produced another box, but he didn't open it immediately.
"But you, Adrastia, I don't think the old man will be as gentle with you as he was with me."
He smiled at her then, revealing his natural, broken teeth. Like an ancient circle littered with toppled stones where once there had been symmetric perfection, half incisors and dog-tooth nubs slumped in front of shattered and missing molars.
"Only pain makes us sharp,"
Murder Sharp said.
"Only pain makes us sharp."
He opened the other box he'd taken from his pocket and lifted a new set of dentures from it. They were fixed with a nightmare assortment of fangs.
"Weasel bear for the dog teeth, naturally. Special animal to all Braxians. Hard to see, near impossible to kill. Takes down prey far larger than itself through patience and then sheer ferocity. Called a wolverine some places, not sure why. Doesn't share a thing with wolves, so far as I can see. Fox fangs here. quicker than weasel bears and can hide in plain sight despite that ginger coat.
He smiled his ruined smile again.
And all the rest are piranha fangs, from the rivers of Tyria that flow into the far ocean. Piranha are frightening by themselves. River pugilists, jaw like a bare-knuckle fighter. But nothing wants to tangle with them when they swarm. That's the order, Tyr. A river full of piranha with weasel bears on the banks and foxes in the rushes.
He tested the edges of the weasel bear fangs.
There's this rare fish in those waters. Tamthing feeds on piranhas. Front fangs this long. Gorgeous, gorgeous fangs, he sighed. But too long to fit in a human mouth, sadly. I tried. Bloodied my mouth half a dozen times before I learned. So I settled for the piranha fangs instead, though it was appropriate. The predator that everyone fears in turn fears one. Only one.
The old man.
The old man, he agreed.
Are you going to break out my teeth like he broke out yours? She asked, gulping against the bile rising in her throat. He laughed softly, exposing those weathered plinths and jagged spires of tooth stumps again.
You think he did this to me?
Murdersharp took out a handkerchief and bit down on it. Methodically, he worked it around his mouth, keeping his lips back, drying his teeth. He pulled back the blue Luxin protective strips from an adhesive lining and then carefully fit the fang dentures into his mouth. He moved his jaw back and forth and took a few experimental bites to see how the fangs meshed, careful to keep his lips clear. His eyes clouded over with something like bliss.
No, he said several moments later. He told me he'd found my disobedience. He told me only pain makes us sharp. Then he gave me the tooth breaker and told me to get out.
You broke out your own teeth? Tyr thought, aghast.
Murder came back the next morning, an altered voice said from the shadows.
Tyr flinched hard. She'd been so focused on Sharp, she hadn't even dreamed there could be someone else up here. It was he.
He came back swollen and bloody, but he came back with the job done. I had never heard of such devotion, such readiness to pay penance, the old man said. I told him he had earned my trust and a name, as were given to the mighty of old. He said only pain makes us sharp.
You see?
He chuckled, and Murder joined in. These people are fucking crazy. As if she hadn't figured that out already in nearly a year of serving them.
I don't get it. I don't understand, Tyr said.
That's good. A tool should never be smarter than its wielder.
She wanted to tell him where to go.
Which brings us to our present difficulty, the old man said.
He stayed where he was, against one curving outer wall of the tower. He was hooded and cloaked, and a glint of spectacles was visible, the parrel ones, Tyr guessed.
Your actions up until now had allayed my suspicions, or so I thought.
You've got to be fucking joking, Tyr said. I'm still proving myself.
Fine, tell me to kill her, I will. I don't care. You told me to get close, I am, but I've never forgotten what I'm there for. And you still haven't given me my... She took a sharp breath through her nose and corrected herself. A cloak.
Allaying my suspicions is one thing. Earning my trust is quite another, the old man said. But even that is in jeopardy now.
Tyr said nothing. Murdersharp had faded back, off to the side, far enough that he was out of Tyr's peripheral vision. The serpent fear in her guts wakened and turned. She looked at him with a challenge in her eyes. He stared back blankly and started picking at his fangs.
Let's talk about your father, the old man said.
What? Why? She asked,
not able to keep the surprise from her voice.
The white paid all his debts right around the time you became a blackguard. She had no reason to do that.
There was no pretending ignorance, not with the old man. No deflection.
She told me it was normal to look into Blackguard Scrub's lives to see if there were any ways enemies could exploit them, turn them. I was shocked too, but she said she was dying and had no heirs, and her wealth could at least do some good.
You never told the other Blackguards about it?
Well, none of the ones on your payroll, apparently, Tyr said.
She sounded like a snotty kid even to herself. Murdersharp tensed at her disrespect, and she made a soothing gesture.
Easy. Sorry. Look, I didn't tell anyone. Look, she took a breath. We all came from different places, and some of us talk about our pasts, and some don't. They can see my ear. They know I was a slave. A fair number of the girls who came from that life. Well, we don't volunteer much, and the others don't ask. There's everything from orphans to nobles' children in the Blackguard. I thought that by telling what she'd done for me, I would sound like I was bragging. But yes, absolutely, it meant the world to me.
Enough to buy your loyalty?
As a slave, I'm pretty attuned to people trying to buy me, thanks. It wasn't that. She wasn't using her money to put me in her debt, not precisely. To her, the money was negligible. The effort and the care were the real expenses. She was a great woman, and she was kind to me. I know she was clever too, but I saw no falsehood in it.
But it was enough to buy your loyalty all the same, the old man said.
If you have to put it like that, yes. Like you bought mine by melting down all those silver items I stole that Lady Crassos was using to blackmail me, I suppose.
He chuckled and wagged a finger. Point. Very clever, very true. Did it work?
It did. Until now, she said gloomily. No, it had never worked. It had always been clear to her that she was working with monsters.
We killed Aurea, the old man said. Specifically, murder did your master. That a problem for you?
Tia flinched.
As soon as the old woman had come up, she'd been desperately searching her mind for any time murder had mentioned her. And if she was supposed to know that the Order had killed her, but all her information had come from sources the Order couldn't, shouldn't know about.
I suspected as much, she said.
But you never asked, despite feeling loyalty to her,
Sharp asked skeptically.
I cared about her, yes, but she was old, dying already. I wasn't going to ask about it until I knew you trusted me. I look forward. Why risk my own neck for someone who's already dead?
It seemed so easy, somehow, here in the darkness, to talk and think like those who were empty.
This, the old man said, from a girl who likes to hold grudges. You're not angry at me? Or Sharp?
Oh, hell yes. I've got a list of things I'm furious at you for, Tia said. But I'm not an idiot. Being mad at you isn't like being mad at your neighbour who gets loudly drunk every night after you go to bed. It's like being mad at the weather. Raise your fist to your neighbour, you might change things. Raise your fist to the sky and you're a fool.
He seemed to appreciate the flattery. But then he walked over to one of the great mirrors on the east side of the tower. It was blackened, burnt. Not just soot on the glass, but the silver backing itself was mottled and melted, ruined.
I asked you to meet us here for two reasons. The light wells are handy to dispose of a corpse, if necessary. We can't disappear a blackguard, and slipping down these is easy enough that it could be accidental. Second, for this. I like physical illustrations when I can afford them.
He patted the mirror.
Do you know how this happened? He asked.
Sir? No.
No one does. It happened during the executions on Orholm's Glare, which is when anything would fail, one imagines. The intensity of that light scared off no few of our newest members. The caretakers of these mirrors are slaves, of course, but highly prized, intelligent, taken excellent care of, like the blackguards themselves. They swore it must be sabotage, for they would never, never leave so much as a smudge on one of the great mirrors, certainly not before such a grand occasion. Others claim it was the djinn himself who reached his will up and smote the mirror, but that he couldn't break even one before he died. Carver Black himself hasn't been able to replace it. The backup mirrors appear on their lists of inventory they purchased years ago, but not in their storehouses. Not our work, actually. Just old-fashioned corruption, someone long ago lining their pockets. Creating new mirrors of the quality needed to replace this one has been impossible because of the war. They require Atashian or Tyrian glass and silver from the Karsos Mountains, bonded by one of three lens makers in Rue, so here it sits, long months after its failure. Marginally useful, kept in place mostly because the other mirrors need the counterweight, not because it does much of anything. It failed its purpose. Perhaps it never should have been put in service in the first place.
He stepped away from it.
I don't want you to fail me, Adrastia. I won't allow it. So I will test you to your limit and perhaps beyond.
He took a breath, studying her, and she held herself still and reflective as silver. Let him see only himself in me, she thought.
Then he said, Your father is here. On the jaspers.
And suddenly the cloud of danger, suffusing the room like paral gas, crystallized in Tia's chest, choking her heart.
Father? Here? He'd mentioned coming to the Jaspers in that letter last year that Rhea Pilar had shown her, but Tyr'd never imagined he'd actually follow through on it. And the Order had known about him before anyone.
I want you to prove yourself. I want you to earn my trust like Elijah here did.
No, no, no. The old man said, only pain makes us sharp. Only pain makes us sharp. Are you ready, Tyr, ready to become a shadow, ready to become my left hand as murder is my right? Murder Sharp's eyes were orbs of midnight. Tyr couldn't expand her own eyes without his seeing it, couldn't look for the peril that she knew must be around and through her right now, like a choking cloud. Any move that so much as smelled like hostility would mean death now.
We're your family now, Adrastia, Sharp said.
To become Tyr Sharp, you must sever the last link of your loyalty to any other before us, the old man said. You'll be given 1 hour to say your goodbyes and then you'll kill your father. You'll be well paid for this. The rest of your family will be taken care of.
Fuck you, Tyr said. No, never. Murdersharp growled, bestial behind his fangs, but the old man held up a gloved finger to him.
Refusal is failure. Refusal is death, child.
Then kill me, she said. She turned her back and started walking away. It was the longest walk of her life, those steps to the door. They stretched out as if she were trekking across the great deserts of the broken lands, hope as distant as water. But nothing happened. It was a torture in itself. She reached the door and put her hand on the latch.
Stop, the old man said softly.
She turned. He could have stopped her easily enough with Sharp's skills. Apparently the old man was used to the force of his personality doing more than any magic could.
There are only two kinds of people who will agree to commit patricide, unless they are victims of horrific abuse, in which case all bets are off, but we know your father was no abuser. Those willing patricides, spies who have no intention of obeying, and those soulless folk who are willing to betray anyone because they are only capable of feigning loyalty, not feeling it. The Order excises both kinds of cancer without remorse. You see, Adrastia, the thing that makes the Order great is that we are able to do the monstrous without becoming monsters. A girl who will kill her father for nothing more than her own ambition is a viper, and anyone who takes a viper to his breast deserves the bite he gets.
You're telling me this was another test? Tyr asked. Are you
She wrestled the words down. How many could she pass? What kind of lunatics were these people? How many times could she gamble her life before she lost just once? And your tests aren't finished, the old man said.
I can't do this forever, Tyr said.
One more. One last test. One test that will make you a sharp. One I would entrust to no one else.
How many shadows do you actually have? Tyr suddenly wondered. So what is it? What do you want me to do? She asked.
Perhaps it just got old. Perhaps it simply gave up.
He stared again at the blackened mirror, and then he put a gentle hand on it.
The backbone of the Order's rising power is the Shimmer Cloaks, Tyr. Our assassins are frightening where we have them, but the shadows are terrifying. No one is safe from you. That power has two limits. There are few peril drafters, though more than you might think, and fewer Shimmer Cloaks. It means I have to think long and hard before sending shadows on truly risky missions, because while the men and women wearing them can be replaced, the cloaks cannot. There's a man, Tyr, who's going to go do something vitally important for me. You're to help him in any way you can. Then after he's done it, you're going to recover whatever weapons he's carrying and you're going to kill him. Just in case he fails, or succeeds in a way I've not foreseen, you'll kill him with this dagger and you'll do it while he's awake, not drugged, not asleep. Only awake will this dagger capture his will. You will stow away in his ship and you will be given the fox cloak to help you.
You're going to kill a man after he's served you? Tyr asked.
A poor thanks indeed, I agree, but this man is far, far too dangerous to be allowed to live. He would, after this service, hunt us all.
And then she had a stomach-turning intuition.
who had served the Order and was now too dangerous to be allowed to live. Iron Fist. But Iron Fist wasn't here, was he? She'd heard some rumour that he'd become King Iron Fist. Another that he was coming to the Chromeria for some diplomatic discussion. Could he have come already? By Skimmer? And what? Been kidnapped by the Order just like that? Sure, they'd done it with Mauricia, but Iron Fist?
If you succeed, you will keep the fox cloak permanently, and I will return your father to you. He will not only be allowed to come or go as he pleases, he will go home with papers of membership in some very important traders' blocks, with some very important monopolies. In short, he will go home a very wealthy man.
Or not at all, Tyr said, if I disobey. He brought his fingertips together and nodded.
And as for you, I've already prepared how to explain your absence. You will return to the Blackguard seamlessly, with very few questions asked.
My absence? Tyr asked.
Only pain makes a sharp, Tyr. You'll understand when you see who you're being asked to kill.
So it was Iron Fist. Please, Orholm, no.
Tyr was that damned mirror. This was her great test, and the heat was too much for her. She was deforming, chipping, cracking. All this demon before her was smashing her with his will. In all the time she'd had, she hadn't tracked down the Order's membership, hadn't retrieved the secrets bound up in ribbon, hadn't found the old man's office, much less broken into it. She'd murdered all those slaves for nothing. Her father's life against the life of someone who was serving the Order, some traitor. What if it was Iron Fist? But Tyr couldn't save Iron Fist if she wanted to. She couldn't save herself now. But she could save her father.
There's a ship, the Golden Mean. You get aboard secretly and then hide below decks until you're well underway. The crew all belongs to me. But Captain Gunner is unpredictable. You come back as Tyr Sharp or don't come back at all, the old man said. He held forth a slender black knife that looked like writhing smoke in his hand.
She took the black dagger.